Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and we're here once again with Sister Sarah Burdick, who's the superior of the Servants of God's Love, a religious order here in Ann Arbor, Michigan. I've known Sister Sarah for a long time. She's been sharing with us this week just her own spiritual journey, which has been quite inspiring. And if you haven't had a chance to tune into the program, you could go to our website at renewalministries.net or avemariaradio.net. You can download the programs and listen to them when it's convenient for you and tell others about them. But welcome back, Sister Sarah.
Thank you, Peter. This is great fun.
Yeah, I wanted to make sure that we took some time. Maybe we could do it today, and then hopefully you could stay with us again on Friday to just share with us some of the, you know, your favorite passages from Scripture or nuggets of things that you've read, because first of all, I know you love the Word of God, and you've been teaching for a long time,
right,
teaching high school kids in
that's
particular,
right. That's right.
And taught three of my four kids,
yeah.
and along the way, thanks be to God for that, but you've had a tremendous impact on so many young people. God's given you a gift to communicate the life that you love, the life and sharing life with the Lord. So
amen.
What do you got for us today? You got something
well,
you might want to
sure,
share?
But again, but thanks for having me back. This is great fun.
You bet.
Let me just back up a little bit. I was baptized in the Holy Spirit in college. And what happened there was it was like Scripture just came alive.
Mm-hmm.
Prior to that, I would have said, this book is really pretty boring, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, what happened was I just felt like my eyes were open to the beauty of God's Word. And it was sort of like what looked like black and white. The best way I can put it is like it became living in living color.
Hmm.
One of the first passages that I was exposed to that really struck me was from John 17. And in John 17, it's where Jesus talks about how he's praying for us. And I never forgot that. I thought, Jesus is praying for me? So maybe, you know, I just kind of wanted to go deeper then into that. Like, what does that mean? And what else does Jesus say, you know, about himself? Another passage that I remember, I'm just kind of going back to some of the first passages that really struck me. Another one was reading about the Transfiguration. And what really struck me was Jesus appearing in all his glory. And I started thinking, something that St. John Paul II talked about, how he climbs Mount Tabor and appears in his glory, climbs down from Mount Tabor and climbs Mount Calvary. And so just thinking about the Transfiguration, thinking about what Jesus says in the Transfiguration is, and you can see it, and it's probably in Mark's or Luke's version, as he prayed, he was transfigured. And I thought, as we pray, we become transfigured.
Hmm.
So, Peter, it's funny when you say, what are your favorite passages? Well, Deacon Tom Lowy always teases me because I'll read a passage during our show and I'll go, this is my favorite passage.
Oh,
oh no, this is my favorite passage. This is my favorite passage. It's kind of hard to nail it down. One of the things that I do with the high school students is, you know, we have to do like an overview of the Old Testament and the New Testament. Do you know how hard that is to do that?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, let's run through Costco in 5 minutes and see, pick up everything you can pick up or eat as many free samples as you can all at once. Are you kidding me? So one of the things that I really like to do is zero in on the Psalms. You know, Peter Crave talks about how the Psalms are our rehearsal for heavenly worship. So I love the Psalms. I have my kids memorize portions of the Psalms. If you saw one of my students and you say 143:8, they'll tell you what that is.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I love to pray the Psalms. Of course, we do that with the Divine Office or the Liturgy of the Hours. And there's just so much in the Psalms, as you know. So praying them for, whether it's for repentance, like going through I taught my students about the main penitential Psalms. There are seven of them. One of the things I learned is that St. Augustine, on his deathbed, would pray all of these seven main penitential Psalms every day.
Hmm.
The most important one that we have is Psalm 51, of course.
Right. Every Friday.
Every Friday we pray that one.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I guess I would have to say, if I have to narrow it down, I can say the Book of Psalms. So I got 150 in there, you know.
Yeah.
But it's something that I think is very important, and I do this in my class. And I have a student, he's now in the seminary. I love this. I taught him years ago, and he remembered me doing this in class, and he goes, I'll never forget that. So what I did was I said, okay, you guys, close your Bibles, all right? We're going to pretend like we are and we're in a concentration camp or we're in a prison camp where Bibles are not allowed. So when you're ready, stand up and say a passage that you know. Let's see how long we can keep this going. It was very interesting. You know, of course, a kid's going to stand up and go, Jesus wept. I'm like, okay, thank you very much. But it was interesting to see how far can we go. I've done that with a group of adults, too. They usually can take it a little bit farther. But the point is, we need to have Scripture stored in our hearts, because a day might come when we're not allowed to have this, or it's illegal to have this, right? So, you know, St. Augustine talks about that. Store it in your heart, makes a comment on, I think it's in Proverbs 6. You know, the ant stores food during the summer so that when winter comes, he has something to feed on. So we really need to do that with God's Word, to have that stored in our hearts. I don't have a lot of it memorized, not as much as I should, I wish, but, you know. Yeah, so do you have a favorite passage?
Yeah, I have a variety. Yeah, just it kind of depends. But I have been chewing a lot on John 13 through 17.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The Last Supper discourse.
Mm-hmm.
And it gets, each chapter gets deeper and deeper,
yeah,
it seems like. And I think one of the passages that has moved me quite a bit was at the end of John 14, where Jesus says, I won't be with you much longer.
Yeah.
So they're at Passover.
Yeah.
That's a celebration. It's meant to be a joyful celebration, you know, the Passover meal. And they must have been shocked.
You know, he wrecks the mood.
Yeah, it's a buzzkill. You know, it's like, wait, what are you talking about? And he said, I won't be with you much longer because the devil's coming after me, he said. But here's what I want you to know. This is, I'm paraphrasing it. He said, but this is what I want you to know. The devil has no hold on me.
Yeah.
So he's making it very clear, the devil's not in control. Jesus is totally in control. And he says, but here's what I want you to know. He said, I want you to know that what's coming is that I do everything the Father commands me to do.
Amen.
Because I want everyone to know I love the Father.
Mm-hmm.
And that to me, for many years, I never really thought about it in this way. The first reason that Jesus is on the cross is not to save Peter Herbeck from his sins, but to give to the Father what belongs to the Father, to be a human being that loves God with all his heart, all his soul, all his mind, and all his strength.
Amen.
And Jesus made clear in John that the love language of heaven is, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And Jesus said, my Father's will is my food. My Father's will is my life.
It's nourishment.
To do what he wants to do, there's nothing better. And I want you to know my first reason for being on that cross, which is coming tomorrow or day after tomorrow, is I love the Father. That's why I'm there. And I love you. So there's the vertical and the horizontal.
Exactly.
Both of them are there. But I just thought to myself, Jesus is defining, he's fulfilling the great commandment.
Yeah.
He said, what's the greatest thing? To love God above all things is the greatest thing. And that means it's surrendered by empty yourself, humble yourself by becoming obedient, even unto death, death on a cross.
Yeah.
That's what happened. So that love is in the heart of it is humility. That's why Jesus said, I'm meek and I'm humble of heart.
Yeah.
And there, why is he on the cross? He's meek and he's humble of heart.
Amen.
He's saying, yes, Father, even I trust you in this really frightening moment.
Yeah.
I trust you. You are good. And he's declaring to the whole world forever that the Father is good and following his will at all costs is the best thing anybody could ever do.
Amen.
And to miss it is the greatest tragedy.
Yeah, yeah. Totally. You know, you mentioned John 14. I love John 14, right? You know, how it starts with, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me, for in my Father's house are many rooms. I go to prepare a place for you. But, you know, he says that, don't be afraid, let not your hearts be troubled. He knows, because our hearts are troubled, right? And when he says, and when I go, I will bring you back to be with me, to dwell with me forever. But in the meantime, he also says, but, you know, those who believe, I will come and we will make our home in you. So we're sort of like mobile home units right now, right? You know, like he dwells in us, you know, as we're in via, you know, on our way to.
Which is something Paul reminds us that people often forget.
Yeah.
He says in a few places, don't you know, don't you remember? God dwells in you. You're a temple of the living God. And it's absolutely critical that we keep that in mind and ask the Lord each day, thank him for it, and say, Lord, help me understand. Let me go deeper. let me go deeper, let me go deeper, because that is the treasure. That is, you know, in earthen vessels we carry this treasure, which
and
is
that's
beyond.
The passage for today.
Is it really?
Yes. 2 Cor 4:7. Why do I know that? Because that was my thesis passage, right?
Okay.
We have this treasure in earthen vessels to show that the transcending power belongs to God and not to us. Peter, we were studying at the seminary together. Do you remember this?
Yes, I do.
And I also remember you saying something like, who's going to read these things anyway? Our thesis will be on the shelf just collecting dust and nobody's going to read it. And I'm like, why are we doing this? But, we have this treasure in earthen vessels, right? Like,
what does he mean? Help people understand what that means. What are we talking about here?
We are fragile human beings, and the Lord has chosen to dwell within us. He allows us to be this vessel for him. We can't see it. I don't see it in myself, because I can't take that. But for the glory of God, he's like, I want to dwell in you. I want to make my home in you so that not for me, but for his glory, right? To point to his glory. I'm so sorry I did not record the conversation that I had with Father Francis Martin when I was working on my thesis. And I said, Father Francis, Father Francis was scripture scholar. Wow.
Par excellence. He was top of the food chain.
But anyway, But I was asking him about, some questions. And I said, am I on the right track? And he goes, absolutely, absolutely. But, speaking of Father Francis, what I want to say is something that he would say. He would say, read the scripture first yourself. Ask the Holy Spirit to speak to you through God's word. Don't start with a commentary. Mm-hmm. Let God speak to you first. I never forgot that.
Yeah, that's interesting. He said he would say the opposite to priests.
Oh, he would?
Yeah, because I remember the days when he would speak every summer at Franciscan University of Steubenville for the priest conferences, and then I would get the cassettes. I would order them and use them on retreat.
Yeah.
But he'd say to them, okay, brothers, you worked hard on Sunday. Take your day off on Monday. Tuesday morning, take up the scripture. Look at what the readings are on Sunday. He said, then do your Formgeschicht and your Sitzenleben, and do the research and the commentary work to understand what's the passage. Then, set that aside. He said, then get on your face.
Mm-hmm.
And beg the Holy Spirit to put a living word from those readings in your heart for
beautiful.
Your people.
Because
never forget, the Holy Spirit is shepherding this people.
Amen.
And so the key thing isn't that
beautiful.
Something?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, he was.
But you're right. He said the opposite to priests than what he would say to other people.
Yeah.
We had an opportunity to have the sisterhood. We had a retreat with him. And I was sitting next to him, Peter, and he's reading scripture, but he's kind of like sort of reading it haltingly. He's kind of like, now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake. And I'm thinking, is he okay? What's going on? I was sitting next to him and I glanced over. He was literally translating that when he would read the New Testament, translating that from the Greek.
Yeah.
He made that decision. Or if he was reading the Old Testament, translate it from the Hebrew. Oh. He's my
funny.
Hero.
Yeah. Say, we've got one more day tomorrow, and I know you have some other things you'd like to share with us.
Sure, I don't know what it is.
On you
can let
back.
Me. I'll come back.
Okay, very good. Well, friends, God bless you. I hope you can join us tomorrow. Sister Sarah will be with us. We're going to continue to share some truth from the Word of God and some other things the Lord's put on her heart. And until then, God bless you. Walk by the Spirit and trust in God's love for you today. Have a wonderful day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Does God Judge? Wow, what a question, but it's a relevant question. Scripture says we were all appointed to die once and then the judgment. We know for sure each one of us has an appointment in our future, and it takes Scripture, Catechism, and the saints to help us understand the beauty of God's plan and how we can look forward to the judgment as followers of Christ. If you'd like to get a free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/FOE.